an email from one of our old and regular listeners, Dr. Hemant Kumar from India. Dr. Hemant Kumar says, Eid al-Adha is the Eid of sacrifice and commitment to Allah orders. May Allah bless us with the same in all circles of life and help all amongst us who are helpless, worried, and waiting for His blessings. Amen. Happy Eid al-Adha. Salam and warm greetings to you, Dr. Hemant Kumar from India, and please accept our warm gratitudes for sending us this congratulatory message. Happy Eid al-Adha to you, Dr. Hemant Kumar, and thank you very much for sending us this email. Yes, as you said, Eid al-Adha is the Eid of sacrifice and commitment to Allah orders. And may Allah bless us with the same in all circles of life. Thank you. We wish you all the best. Wish you peace, prosperity, happiness, good tidings on this great occasion, on the occasion of Eid al-Adha. Soon, my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card. Dr. Hemant Kumar from India, write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. Thank you again. And again from the U.S., we've received an email from Brian Penny. Let's see what Brian Penny says. Dear Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's Broadcasting, I received your broadcast to Europe and North America in English this afternoon. Reception conditions were nominal, with minimal noise and fading. The modulation level of your broadcast was a bit low, but I was able to copy the majority of your transmission. If you find my reception report to be accurate, I would appreciate receiving a QSL from your station. An electronic QSL would be sufficient during this unprecedented pandemic. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, Iran, and IRIB English Radio. Brian Penny from the U.S. Thank you very much for sending us this email. So thank you for letting us know about the troubles you had. As you said, the reception conditions were nominal with minimal noise and fading. Thank you for telling us the condition you had about receiving. Anyway, we are so happy that our signals are received in your region. Of course, please accept our electronic QSL card in the time of pandemic. We have no other choice except sending you an electronic QSL card as a confirmation. Please accept it from us. Thank you for writing to your radio station, IRIB English Radio. We're looking forward to hearing from you soon, Brian Penny from the U.S. And after a short break, I will be back with other emails from around the world. Please stay with us. Welcome back. Bashir Solangi from India has sent us an email. Bashir says, I would like to send my congratulations to the Muslim world on Eid al-Adha occasion. I would like to pray for the world and ask Allah to help us from the widespread pandemic disease, which took already many innocent lives across the globe. Thanks as always, and God bless you all, and happy Eid al-Adha. First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you, Bashir Solangi from India. Many thanks for sending us this email, such nice email. We also do send our congratulations to you and all our listeners, especially Muslim listeners, on Eid al-Adha or Feast of Sacrifice. We wish you all the best. We wish you happiness, joy, love, good tidings on this great occasion. And as we, just like you, would like to pray for all people around the world and ask God to help us in the time, in the bad times, in the time of pandemic, and save all people around the world, be it in Asia, Africa, America, all people around the world, in the Europe, save all people as you said, this pandemic, this unprecedented and widespread pandemic disease has taken many lives around the world, and this is so sad. So on this great occasion, on the occasion of Eid al-Adha, we ask God to save people around the world. Anyway, Bashir Solangi from India, that was a good wish and that was a good prayer. Thank you for this great wish and this congratulatory message to your radio station, IRIB English Radio. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. Bashir Solangi from India, write to us soon. Thank you again. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a confirmation. Well, dear listeners of Listeners Special, congratulations again on the auspicious Feast of Qurban, or Eid al-Adha, that marks the culmination of the Hajj pilgrimage and commemorates Prophet Abraham's great sacrifice of his son Ishmael, who, by the command of God Almighty, was saved at the last moment. So here we have to wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Please keep in touch with Listeners Special and IRIB English Radio. Have a good time. God bless you and goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pastoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pastodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
الله يا الله سبحان الله الله يا الله والحمد لله الله ولا إله
God willing, with your strength and with the power of your faith and the power of Islam, this movement will reach its conclusions, and you shall smell the fragrance of Islam at the time when you marvel at its scent, when you shall marvel at the system of Islam in which the one who is at the head, such as the Prophet himself, and those that are at the lower rung in your terminology or the terminology of the people, are gathered in a single place and are seated and busily talking to one another and exchanges stories and speaking of mobilizing an army and so forth. This is what the Prophet had wanted.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio. In this program, we talk about the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini, and in today's program, we will talk about Shiism. In one of his speeches, he said that Islam has always been associated with the epic of Shiism. It is true that when we look at the Islam, when we look at the epics in the Islam, it is all related to the Shiism. For example, it starts right after the demise of the Prophet. And after that, we can see how Imam Ali has battles in his time. And after that, when we look at the epic, which was the real epic in the Islamic history that happened in the land of Karbala, and this Hamasa, which is known as epic or Hamasa, this was a great war against the evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ilan nur. Allah is the close guardian of the mu'mineen. He takes them out of darkness and takes them towards the nur. In the land of Karbala, we witnessed that how Imam Hussein alayhi salam has taken the people from darkness towards the nur, how Hur was changed to a lover of Ahlul Bayt, and he became someone who entered the paradise. Why? Because he enjoined the master of the paradise. And on the other hand, the rebels, the Taghut, are the guardians of those who go towards darkness, who disbelieve.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi. Sallallahu alayhi.
Believing Imam Hussein means believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because these are the infallibles, these are those representatives which were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were made the guardians from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, it is always, we see that Islam has always been associated with the epic of Shiism. Why? Because these epics, they have saved Islam. In today's world, even now, when we want to talk about the evil and good, we refer to Karbala. We refer to the land of Karbala. We talk about Ahlul Bayt. Ahlul Bayt, about whom in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to his prophet that, O prophet, say, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. O prophet, say them that I do not want any kind of reward except the love of Ahlul Bayt, except following the Ahlul Bayt. The mawaddat, which means love, it is not just showing love, it is practically showing love, because it is not hub, it's different from hub. Mawaddat means when you practically show that you are loving, and practically you can show love when you become a Shia, a true follower of Ahlul Bayt, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, I'm Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi and we're going to be with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll try to discuss the commentary of chapter Shu'ara, the 26th chapter of the Holy Quran. We'll be back after you listen to the verses we're going to discuss in this episode.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Inna sha'nu nazzil 'alayhim minas samaa'i ayatan fadhallat a'naquhum laha khadi'in.
If we willed, we could send down to them from the sky a sign for which their necks would remain humbled.
Brothers and sisters, in this episode we will continue discussing the different verses of chapter Shu'ara. The fourth verse states, إن نشأ ننزل عليهم من السماء آية فظلت أعناقهم لها خاضعين. If we please, we should send down upon them a sign from heaven to which they would bend their necks in humility. وما يأتيهم من ذكر من الرحمن محدث إلا كانوا عنه معرضين. And never comes there to them a new reminder from the beneficent Allah, but they turn away from it. فقد كذبوا فسيأتيهم أنباء ما كانوا به يستهزئون. So they have indeed rejected, therefore the news of that which they used to mock shall soon come to them. In these three verses, the fourth, fifth, and sixth verses, three attributes of the pagans are mentioned. The first, their aversion and hatred. Second, their denial of the truth. And third, derision and mockery. So, it happens that man gradually, step by step, falls in pitfall. First, he ignores, he dislikes the truth. Then he starts denying it. And finally, he scoffs at it. The worst attribute and mood of man is to ridicule the truth, and there can be worse than that. So at first, in order to prove that Allah is omnipotent, and even he can force all people to believe in him through the first verse, he says, إِنَّ شَأْ نُنَزِّلْ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ آيَةِ. If we please, we should send down upon them a sign from the heaven, فَضَلَّتْ أَعْنَاقُهُمْ لَهَا خَاضِعِينَ, to which they would bend their necks in humility. This verse is referring to this matter, that Allah can present them with a surprising miracle or impose a severe punishment on them so that they involuntarily bow down before him and yield it. But this compulsory faith is worthless. What is important is that they yield to truth willingly, thoughtfully and intentionally, and out of their conscious minds. Allah's way of treatment and law is to provide people with choice. Allah provides people with options and opportunities of respite. Faith must be voluntary, and it has to be optional. You cannot compulsorily believe in something. That is why in the fifth verse it says, وَمَا يَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ ذِكْرٍ مِنَ الرَّحْمَنِ مُحْدَثٍ إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنْهُ مُعْرِضِينَ. The news of that which they used to mock shall soon come to them. It does not say that they will be punished because of their denial and aversion. No, they are provided with choice, options, and opportunities, and it is the next world that they will be facing the consequences of their choices.
على مر الزمان تألقا وأضاء للدنيا طريقا.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
أنتم الفقراء
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
So at the end of the fourth verse, we read, فَظَلَّتْ أَعْنَاقُهُمْ لَهَا خَاضِعِينَ. If we please, we should send down upon them a sign from the heavens, فَظَلَّتْ أَعْنَاقُهُمْ لَهَا خَاضِعِينَ, to which they would bend their necks in humility. It is clear that the purpose of this part of the verse is that the owner of necks would bow down before it. But because the neck, which is raqaba and unuq in Arabic, is the most important limb of man's body, is mentioned ironically as man himself. I assume there is one point remaining regarding this fourth verse of the chapter. You may remember in the previous episode, the third verse was this, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ أَنْ لَا يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. You are about probably to kill yourself with sorrow and grief because they did not believe. And right next to that verse, إِنَّ شَأْنُ نَزِّلْ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ آيَةً. If we were to send down to them a sign from the heavens, we could, فَظَلَّتْ أَعْنَاقُهُمْ لَهَا خَاضِعِينَ. They would certainly bend their necks in humility. Believing in the attributes of the Almighty Allah, believing in the fact that Almighty Allah is the absolute cause, He can do whatever He wills, is the best kind of thing a true servant and mu'min, a true muwahid and monotheist, can rely on whenever he faces difficulties. If you want to relieve your soul of the difficulties, of the challenges it is facing in the life, specifically when something, the burden of which is really heavy, is on your shoulder and you need to fulfill your responsibility, this is what you need to believe in and rely on if you want to soothe yourself. Believing in the power of the omnipotent Almighty Allah. لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعَ إِن نَشَأْ نُنَزِّلْ عَلَيْهِمْ. We could, but we don't want to. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode of the program. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me, worry, and that's when faith begins.
لبيك اللهم لبيك, لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك, إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك.
The inspirational message of Eid al-Adha. In the name of God, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Salam everybody, and congratulations to you on the auspicious Feast of Qurban or Eid al-Adha that marks the culmination of the Hajj pilgrimage and commemorates Prophet Abraham's great sacrifice of his son Ishmael, who, by the command of God Almighty, was saved at the last moment. Here is a special feature for you, so please stay with us. In ayah 120 of Surah Nahl of the Noble Quran, God Almighty says, "Surely Abraham was an exemplar, obedient to God and upright, and he was not of the polytheists." We also read in ayah 4 of Surah Mumtahine, or the Examined One, "Indeed, there is for you an excellent exemplar in Abraham and those with him, when they said to their people, 'Surely we are clear of what you serve besides Allah. And enmity and hatred have appeared between us and you forever until you believe in Allah.'" As is clear, the words of God are self-explanatory concerning the monotheistic stature of Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, and the annual Hajj pilgrimage that reaches its climax amidst the celebration of Eid al-Adha or Eid al-Qurban, the Feast of Sacrifice. The Hajj is undoubtedly the glorious manifestation of monotheism, universalized by Abraham on God's command, after he and his firstborn son Ishmael were ordered to rebuild the ancient edifice of Adam, the holy Kaaba, which was in a state of ruin in the wilderness of Mecca following the deluge of the days of Prophet Noah, peace be upon him. When God asked him to proclaim the pilgrimage for mankind, he wondered who will come to the remote wilderness of Mecca, but was told that people will come from all over the earth, from every beaten track, on various means of transport. Today, millions of people from around the world pour into Mecca almost the year around, peaking during the annual Hajj, to tread in the footsteps of Abraham and to circumambulate the Kaaba, the focal point of monotheism. They ritually stone the symbolic Satans at Mina, and they sacrifice a sheep, goat, cow or camel on the 10th of Dhul-Hajj in commemoration of Abraham's sacrifice of Ishmael that was miraculously substituted by the command of God with the ram before the ancient father's knife could reach the patient son's throat. As God Almighty says in ayah 107 of Surah Safat, "And we ransomed him with the great sacrifice." The Muslims are proud to call themselves as heirs of Prophet Abraham in view of the fact that the Almighty's last and greatest messenger, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, was the direct descendant of Prophet Ishmael and revived for mankind the forgotten Abrahamic legacy. This is an excellent heritage indeed, but are the Muslims, especially the Hajis, truly observing the example set by that immortal iconoclast who in his youth had smashed the idols of Babylon and underwent the ordeal of fire that miraculously turned into a garden to the horror of that hegemonic tyrant Nimrod? Are they really aware of the great sacrifice that ransomed Ishmael in antiquity? The questions are worth pondering on the occasion of Eid al-Adha, which ought not to be a mere soulless ritual. A true adherent of the School of Abraham cannot submit to each and everyone, especially the satanic and hegemonic Nimrod-like powers of the day, and then call himself a Muslim by paying lip service to Islam on the assumption that he or she recites the Quran, performs the Hajj, and prays punctually facing the Kaaba. No, the Hajj and Eid al-Adha have a great message. They want us to be free persons in the service of God only. The might and grandeur of the godless cannot overawe us. We should turn over the folios of history to see the fate of those who opposed monotheism. There are no signs today of the elaborately carved and richly decorated temples of Babylon built by the powerful who toyed with the life of human beings, while Abraham's simple cube-shaped structure stands majestically in Mecca. We should also ask ourselves as to who saved the sanctity of the edifice of Adam and Abraham. The Noble Quran says it was the great sacrifice. But this great sacrifice cannot be an insignificant ram, as the ignorant might believe, although for the time being, Ishmael was saved by substituting of a ram. Ishmael's real ransom had to be greater than Ishmael himself, since Abraham's slaughtering of his son in antiquity in obscure Mecca would not have served any divine purpose. We find the answer in the full limelight of history when we reflect on events that ensured immortality for Islam and the endeavors of all previous prophets of God. In fact, it was on 10th of Muharram in the year 61 AH, corresponding to 680 of the Christian calendar, that God's words of the great sacrifice to ransom Ishmael came through on the plain of Karbala besides the river Euphrates. Here, the son and successor of Adam, Noah, Abraham, Ishmael, and Muhammad was mercilessly slain, thirsty, after witnessing the tragic slaughter of his brothers, kinsmen, companions, and two sons of his own sons, an 18-year-old youth who resembled his beloved grandfather, the prophet, and a 6-month-old infant. Thus, Imam Hussein, peace upon him, the son of Imam Ali, peace upon him, was the great sacrifice that not just ransomed Abraham and Ishmael, but salvaged Islam and all humanitarian values. These are the points to ponder during the Hajj and on Eid al-Adha. Congratulations once again and goodbye.
ربنا ربنا ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Thank you for joining us here today. Today on The Key, we're going to be looking at a very significant and important question. And that question is this: what is the meaning of the word Allah? As you can see, this question is very important, it's very significant, and it's very central to the value and the importance of the acts of worship that we perform. If we don't know the meaning of the word Allah, what it means, then when we pray, when we ask Allah, when we call on Him using this word, how can that act of worship, how can that prayer, how can that dua have any significance? Right? We, as you know, the value of any act of worship, regardless of whether that act of worship is obligatory or recommended, it's an act of worship of God towards God. Like, for example, it's the prayer, ritual prayer. Or even it could be the salutation that we are sending to one of the immaculate and infallible beings, such as A'imma alayhimus salam or the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so we don't have a knowledge of, you know, the being that we're addressing. And at a certain level, even the meaning of the names of these beings that we're addressing, right? That act of worship, obviously, the value of it will be all the more less. And conversely, if we have a knowledge of the being we're addressing, right? We know who we're addressing, the meaning of the words that we're expressing, right? Obviously, that act of worship, you know, it has significance. Now, we don't want to, we don't want to somehow imply that if there's a person and he really calls on Allah from the depths of his heart, even if he doesn't know the meanings of the words of the prayers that he's using to address Allah, right? It's that prayer doesn't have the ability, to ascend towards God and it won't be answered. No, we're not trying to say that in any way. Obviously, a prayer that emits from the heart, right? It comes out from the heart, right? It really comes out from the heart, from the depths of the fitrat and the nature, right? There's no doubt in the fact that that will be accepted. But obviously, knowing the meanings of these words, knowing the significance of the being we are addressing, and who we are addressing, obviously this helps in activating that prayer, that it comes out from the heart, and that's why this is significant. Fortunately, this question has been answered by our A'imma alayhimus salam themselves, right? So we have various hadiths which have addressed this question and answered this question. Today, let's look at a hadith which has been narrated from Imam Baqir alayhis salam. Imam Baqir alayhis salam has been reported to have said, Allah means the one who is worshipped and whom people are too bewildered to comprehend his essence and fathom his identity. This is kind of paradoxical. On one hand, right, we're trying to address the question of what Allah means. On the other hand, in response to this question, we're saying Allah means the being who is not comprehended, right? It's almost paradoxical, right? But, it's been narrated that Ibn Sina, the famous scholar, was once reported to have said towards the end of his life, he said that after all of my studies and investigations and everything that I conducted and researched with respect to God, in the end, finally, I reached the conclusion that I don't know anything about God. But this kind of knowledge and this kind of admittance to ignorance, which comes after investigation, right, is far more significant than the ignorance that we have before that, right? So it is a type of knowledge, and this is, in fact, the highest form of knowledge that we can have of God. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the meaning of Allah, and till next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. This is Viewpoints. You are listening to analysis on the most important events taking place in the Islamic calendar. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani and Sayyid Alavi. Sayyid Alavi, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to
you. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My salams to you and the dear audience. Thank you for having me here.
You're welcome. And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much.
So, as Al-Hajj 18th, let's get back to, we can say, to the history, back time, the year 10th of Hijrah, of course, after Hijrah. A very important event took place, and that is Prophet Muhammad is on his way back from Hajjat al-Wada.
Yeah.
So in the middle of the way, in a place called Qadir Qom, you know, he stops all the companions, all the travelers, you know, waits for the others to join him to give a very important news. What's that news, Sayyid Alavi?
Well, maybe the news were about who would be the successor of the Prophet.
Okay.
You know, you have the Sunnah of the Prophet, and we being from the Ahl Sunnah,
yes,
following the Sunnah of the Prophet, we, according to historical narrations, the Prophet never left any city without a successor.
Mm-hmm.
And he never left an area without a wali or a successor.
Okay.
In every region in the Arabian Peninsula, he would leave a successor of his.
That's right.
Even when he left Medina, as a clear example. Now, Ghadir al-Khum, you know, there was a verse prior to the event of Ghadir between Mecca and Medina, where the verse says that, O Prophet, reveal or balligh, convey. Yes, exactly. Convey what has been revealed upon you. Because if you do not, then you have not conveyed our message.
Okay.
The question is, the fundamental question is, what message? I mean, is the Prophet about to speak about Hajj? Is the Prophet about to speak about the prayers, about the zakah, about fasting? Okay. No, he has already talked about this and the regulations and the ahkam. So everyone knew about it.
So, then what is it? The ayah was revealed on the spot?
It was prior
or
to...
Prior
to Ghadir, and that's why the Prophet stopped.
Uh-huh.
And if you do not, it is like you have not conveyed our message during 23 years.
Yes, that's right.
It is nothing. And do not be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
The verse continues.
Yes.
Do not be afraid of whom? Obviously, there was a fright in the heart of the Prophet. He was afraid of some people and how they would conceive the message.
Okay.
So do not be afraid. We will be your guardian. We will help you.
That's right.
And then the Prophet comes with the example that you said, that he stopped all the companions. He told the companions who were traveling to come back during a severe heat.
Yes.
And he had a speech for around 1 hour. And the culmination...
Just lifting up the kajavas,
exactly.
The carriages of the camels on the top of the mountain-like thing, to see to all the people see.
Exactly,
Taking the hand of Amir al-Mu'minin and introducing him as Wali. Now, Sheikh, this is the main question, the word Wali, okay?
I'm sorry interrupting you.
You're gonna go?
Can I just finish one more quote?
Okay.
There was a verse prior to Ghadir, and there was a verse after the Ghadir.
Ayatul Tabligh and Ayatul Ikmal.
Exactly. That is very important. Yeah. The event happened between these two ayats.
Okay.
Now you have conveyed our message. Now the deen that is recognized in Allah is Islam and so on. Now you have completed your religion.
So first is Ayatul Tabligh of what's going to happen.
Yes.
Then the event of Ghadir al-Khum.
And it took 3 days.
Yeah.
3 days of bay'ah, paying allegiance to the imam. The new successor after the Prophet.
So how was the bay'ah? The people coming or shaking hands?
The people came and put their hands in their hands. The custom of the Arabs today is still the same. Yes, all the companions who were there.
That's right.
Had that custom. They paid allegiance and it took 3 days. These are subtle points that we need to recognize.
Okay, Sheikh, why not referring to such an important incident directly in the text of the Holy Quran? I mean, for example, introducing Ali as the successor or bringing the term Wali in the Quran to exactly refer to what's happening, because it's a very important incident, isn't it, in the Islamic history?
Yeah, of course. First of all, let me mention this example. We have a hadith in which it is mentioned that أنا مدينة العلم وعلي بابها.
That's right. Okay.
So you see, some of these scholars who were opposed to Amir al-Mu'minin, they interpreted this Ali as Rafi'a.
That person with higher status.
Yeah, that's it. Rafi'un بابها. It means that the door or the entrance door of that city is in a very high position.
Okay.
It doesn't mean Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ali son of Abu Talib. So, you know, if sometimes you do not want to accept something, even if it is explicitly mentioned in the Ayatul Quran, then you can deny that.
That's right.
As many Muslims, as many hypocrites denied many things.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in one of the Hajj, the Prophet ﷺ told the companions to shave their heads.
Okay.
And some of them denied and rejected the direct order of the Prophet. Said that, why don't you do that? Don't you do that? The same thing. But he said, it's not my first Hajj. It's your first Hajj. You have to do this.
Okay.
So I want to say that the opposition to Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi wasalam was very much clear at that time to the Holy Prophet and to the companions of the Holy Prophet. But certain qualities mentioned in the Holy Quran about the successor, about the Imam, about the leader of Muslims.
Okay.
If you just refer to these qualities, you would absolutely understand that the only instance for these ayat is only Ali ibn Abi Talib. Because sometimes it is directly referred to some of the actions and deeds that the Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam performed in his life.
Okay.
So that's why it was so much clear for all the people that Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam was the let's say, the successor of the Prophet. Not only in Ghadir and many other, let's say, occasions.
For example, you, Ali, to me are like Aaron to Moses or other hadith, referring directly to the character of Imam Ali. But still, the same question is over here. Why not referring to such an important incident, directly in the text of the Holy Quran? In an ayah or something like that. And explaining the word Wali. Because here the problem from our Ahlus Sunnah is on the term Wali. How to define it, okay? And when they oppose such an incident or something like that, Imam Ali alayhi salam was called as a friend of Prophet Muhammad or something like that, and does not mean a successor or the first, we can't say successor of Prophet Muhammad.
You know, whatever the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, it is not something, it is impossible to be something opposed to the Holy Quran. Rather, it is directly compatible to what is mentioned in the Holy Quran.
Okay.
So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam introduces Amir al-Mu'minin in many occasions in his life, from the beginning of Islam till the end of his life, so in many occasions, it is an order that he received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's obeying the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should not separate what the Prophet says, what the Prophet, for example, explained about these kind of important events from the Quran.
That's right.
You know, in the Holy Quran, for example, it's mentioned that you have to say prayers. So how should we do that? Then if the Prophet say that, okay, you have to pray this way, it is exactly compatible to the Holy Quran. It is exactly in accordance with the Holy Quran. There's no difference between the tradition, the Sunnah of the Prophet and the Quran. So in the Holy Quran, it's mentioned that this is Wali.
Yes.
Wali is this. So then the Prophet explained it. It is the same as the Salah. Yes. Salah is mentioned in the Holy Quran, but the way we perform Salah is explained by the Prophet. So when Wali is mentioned in the Quran, then we should refer to the Prophet. Who is Wali? If Prophet explains it and interpret this ayat for us, so then we would understand that it is the order, it's the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's obeyed by the Prophet in Ghadir al-Khum in other events.
That's all right.
Even if it's not mentioned in the Noor Quran explicitly, although we have verses which say that your Wali is God, the Prophet, and those who pray when they are in ruku', and the Mufassirin of all denominations say that it is one.
Those who bow in ruku' and give, for example, their ring they
give sadaqah. And all the interpreters of all denominations say that it is one person here that is the verse is referring to. But then you have, as Sheikh said, the life and the sunnah of the Prophet, which completes the Noor Quran. And then you asked about why do some people come with the interpretation of friend, Wali being a friend.
Yes.
So we ask,
because one of the important meanings of Wali is friend.
Let us assume that the Wali means friend, okay? No
or
problem.
Or best friend, okay.
What do you do with the rest of khutbah of Ghadir al-Khum, where the Prophet mentions the other points of successes? What do you do with that part? So you just take that part of the khutbah and then you leave the rest.
Okay.
And then you have very strong, logical reasons for not interpreting it as a friend, because said there was a argument between him and a person by the name of Khalid ibn al-Walid when they came back from Yemen. All right, so why should the Prophet stop all of these companions during heat, severe heat, tell the people who traveled to come back to Ghadir and then have a 3 days bay'ah? We need to wake up here, spiritual awakening.
Okay.
Spiritual awakening. We need to wake up.
And was it done all on purpose? For example, to make a speaking terms between the person you mentioned and Imam Ali, because they were on a dispute, okay?
It doesn't hold. That's what I'm trying to say. It doesn't hold to say that,
it's
look,
not a
people,
good excuse to stop
exactly,
all the people.
Exactly. People stop here. He is my friend. So whomever I'm the friend of, you should take Ali as his friend. Yes. No. The thing here, the incident here is much more fundamental much more deeper than that. 3 days during severe heat. Okay. If you had an argument with a couple of people, you take Imam Ali into a tent and you take those people into that tent and you talk about that thing and it's over with. But then you have all of this spectacle.
Of course,
going
the tents were uprised later.
Yeah, of course.
Under those tents, you know, some conspiracies took place.
Okay. Sorry, I wanted to add one more point to the points mentioned by a brother.
Sure.
This is that. Let's assume that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the term, for example, wali. Mm-hmm. Suppose that he meant friend. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if all the companions of the prophets had to be the good friends of Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, so do we annoy a friend,
mm-hmm.
or we obey and follow a friend?
Okay.
This is the point.
That's right.
So it is explicit. It's very much clear that Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi salatu wasalam was opposed to the caliphate of the first caliph.
Okay.
It's clear.
Mm-hmm.